Welcome to this special edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with the Executive Director of the Mutual Musicians Foundation and the operator of a new jazz radio station in Kansas City, Anita Dixon. With the new jazz station KOJH in the planning stages, there are big plans for a launch in January 2016 and well beyond that. Anita always has a very intelligent and insightful look into the world of Kansas City jazz, and she sheds more light on a new jazz station that will be on your radio dial at 104.7 FM from the heart of 18th and Vine in Kansas City's oldest jazz institution, the Mutual Musicians Foundation. Dig this interview, my friends.
So I'm just going to dive in and ask you, first of all, how did you get the good news?
I got the good news. This is going to crack you up. I actually got the good news on my email, and my email was from one of those companies that sends you out something that says, congratulations, we're selling something and we want you.
So you think it could be a spam thing?
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, what is this? You know, it's like, hi, we do low-power radio station equipment, and congratulations on getting your... I said, what? We're one of the ones that have been granted. So that's how I found out. Somebody sent me an email.
What was the first thought when you realized this was happening and it sunk in and it wasn't a spam email? What was the first thought that went through your head?
I cried.
Oh, wow.
I cried. It's been 3 years, Joe.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years since the first desire, 3 years since I found out about the Communications Act, you know what I'm saying, that we could actually get a radio station, and, you know, the last 16 months and the application and how hard that was. And, it was like this real deep sigh.
Yeah.
And then I kind of cried.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, when you're thinking about jazz more than commercial, when it's your life, when it's your culture, when it's the future for children and the understanding of nations and things like we actually believe it in, then knowing that you're going to have a voice in this thing and it's going to be significant and it's going to be exactly what you want because it's yours.
Yeah,
you're not going to have to come under anybody else's rules. You're going to make them. You don't have to compromise who you are or the beliefs that you have because it's yours. So I cried. My first thing was, look at that. Shed a tear, and then I went to the rooftops.
So elaborate a little bit for me the journey. It's been 3 years. The Communication Act came into being. Kind of elaborate how long this whole, even before that, what was the thought process from your perspective, the Mutual Musician Foundation perspective, and how it finally came to that email where you got it? Kind of talk to me about the journey.
You know, the journey started actually when we took over the foundation after all that controversy, and that's something I like to not think about. But I began to realize that within a very short amount of time, 8 years, we were going to have a 100-year celebration. How were we going to be as big as innovators, as those people who were on the wall? So that was 2009. Then I'm looking at an article in the Huffington Post, and it mentions the Federal Communications Act is trying to open up these new FM stations, and that's when the first inkling of an idea of 24-hour radio station. Maybe we can have that again. So then 2011 comes, and I see they passed this thing, and they're going to have to open up some of these frequencies for low-power radio stations in urban communities and rural communities and people who would not have them. So I started researching about how to do this, how to do this, and up pops this organization called Prometheus Radio, who ascertained that they were going to help people get some of these stations, right? So I started communicating with them, and then, you know, months went by, and they didn't communicate with me again, and then months went by. And so I started investigating and doing some things on our own. And in the meantime, we met, you know, this group called the Freedom Network Foundation, and we put up a neighborhood Wi-Fi system that actually supplies free Wi-Fi for three blocks. Mm-hmm. And it was they were the kids, they were the daring kids that put up Wi-Fi system for Occupy Wall Street. So all of the Wi-Fi stuff that you saw going on in the tents and stuff in Occupy Wall Street, these kids came to Kansas City, moved to Kansas City, and started putting, so they've got a Wi-Fi system in Rosedale. So I started saying to myself then, you know, if we're going to do what we need to do to preserve jazz, we need to own the communication vehicle.
Yeah.
We've got to own them. We can't just rent them. You can't rent Comcast and have your same message on Facebook. We can't do that.
Right.
We have to own these things. So once we realize we could own the Wi-Fi, and we do, our Wi-Fi system is powered off of SNS.
Wow.
It's connected to Rosedale. It's connected to Lincoln High School. It's connected. There is a community Wi-Fi system that people don't even know about because Google wasn't coming in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay, just straight out.
Yeah.
They just aren't. We realized that this was an excellent opportunity. So then it's 2012, right? And I'm getting closer and closer to the deadline of filing for the radio station because I'm finding out more, finding that there's going to be thousands of people applying for these things. And so I ran across a guy named Gordon Cook, who is the oldest internet watchdog with the Cook Report.
Yeah.
So he's working with the kids who are putting up the Wi-Fi, and they're like, look, you need to talk to Gordon. So I'm talking to Gordon, and Gordon says, you need to talk to Jeff Michka.
Yeah.
Well, who's Jeff Michka? Well, Jeff Michka is this huge community radio activist who is very, very interested, and he's putting up, you know, radio stations, and he's an engineer and stuff like that. So I talked to him, come to find out he's a very expensive consultant. But as we start talking, and and I keep telling them the mission and the reason and the dire necessity to return jazz back to its community roots and things like that, he agrees with me. So he agrees to do our application free of charge. And he starts doing this, and he takes it as a personal thing. I'm going to help the Mutual Musicians Foundation get this radio station.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this guy works like it's his job, like we're paying him. And he's just this incredible consultant who understands more about this and is very – so here we are plodding along. And then the day before the last day to file, because it's a deadline, November 14th, noon, 2013. We made it in by 10:45, November 14th, 2013.
Yeah.
Application goes in. Okay, whew. Okay, now we got to wait. And we waited. And then we got challenged for the frequency. There were four other organizations that wanted the frequency, and it was the only one or one of two or something to that effect, I'm not quite sure, that were going to be available. And so we had to actually go in and build the case as to why we were going to be the important people to give it to. From November to November, that's a year.
Yeah.
Okay, November, October, November, December. So it took another 4 months, with 16 months.
Wow.
January 20th, and I woke up and found the email.
Wow.
And the stuff in between, the people who were laughing at us, I went to a meeting and was kind of ridiculed. So, where is this radio station where you're going after her, you know?
Uh-huh.
So when we see this radio station, I guess we'll all just... And it was a big joke. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Anita, jazz doesn't sell. You're going to have a very difficult time. Jazz doesn't sell. What does that mean? Contextually, the year before that May, we'd done a conference, we being the Mutual Musicians Foundation, along with Larry Ridley, Dr. Ray Ridley, one of the oldest bassists to have played with Duke Ellington of Thelonious Monk. A couple of marketing persons and Chuck Haddix and myself had done something called Jazz Center Stage.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And we discussed a four-prong, and it was called Jazz Center Stage, the economics of audience development. Okay?
Yeah.
And what it actually was trying to get people to see and come along with us is that jazz is not a solely an entertainment product, quote unquote. Okay? It has morphed and evolved into four different aspects, and one of them is preservation, education, tourism, and entertainment.
Yeah.
And if you're not hitting on those four prongs, then yes, jazz can be negated in what you do. But why is jazz thriving so ridiculously internationally? So in September, I went to Denmark just to find that out.
Yeah.
How come Denmark can have a jazz festival of 250,000 people who show up, 30,000 of them Americans? How can they do that?
Yeah.
And we not do that?
Sounds like it's pretty healthy to me.
Very healthy. Five jazz radio stations. So why it was a, so I went to investigate that and spent 7 days in Denmark with Henrik Iversen, who is the founder and chairman of the Ben Webster Foundation. You know, anybody knows anything about Kansas City jazz? Ben Webster played with Duke Ellington and Big Cat, left Kansas City, went to Denmark, and never came back. He's buried there.
Yeah.
I went to his gravesite, and the most amazing thing, Joe, is that the man is buried around the corner from Hans Christian Andersen.
Wow.
Like, if you go to Denmark, it's no separation of anything. One of the greatest storytellers in the world is around the corner from the other greatest storyteller in the world musically. Here he would have been buried at Lincoln Cemetery, segregated, set apart. So therein lies one thing is the difference between us and Europe.
Absolutely.
Okay, they have always embraced the culture. They have always embraced the African-American for the genius music that they recognize comes from the culture.
Yeah.
They have a free education system, university-wise, so everybody can access this thing. So they all love it. Nothing is separated. Jazz is not separated from conservatory music. It's all classic.
Yeah.
As far as they're concerned. So if you study Beethoven, you're going to study Ben Webster.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can, it's never separated. Thus, they've conquered the education thing. Of course, it's one of the greatest cities in the world for preservation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whenever you see everything's from 1690 and 1590, and they ride bicycles and they don't, you know, they've got commuter trains. They get it.
Yeah.
Okay? Then, for entertainment, tourism, come on, 30,000 Americans get on a plane once a year and fly to Denmark to consume jazz?
Yeah.
What greater tourism could that be?
Right.
And then on the entertainment side, they get the best and the baddest. Herbie Hancock and, you know, Gregory Porter and, you know, some of the names that, you know, cost us the fortune to get over there, and them too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But when they make money on the concerts and stuff, that money goes back into the cultural arts aspect of where they live.
Yeah.
So nobody's fan in their pockets, and everybody gets a piece of it.
Yeah.
So to be able to say that jazz doesn't sell, it's because we have this Americanized idea of what jazz is.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And it's just not that way internationally, anywhere. How does International Jazz Day go to Istanbul, Osaka, Japan, and all these places and bypass America?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow.
So here we have an opportunity to bring what I'm saying to everybody who consumes jazz and quit making them think that a commercial is going to back this.
So speaking of bringing it to the people, the station is here. And talk to me about programming. What is going to be a part of the 24/7 Jazz Mecca in Kansas City?
As we begin this thing, we're going to start off with an 8-hour a day. You know, as we build, and yet, because this has to be a community-driven thing, unless somebody wins the lottery and gives us half. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Straight out. You know, let's just say that. a 24/7 thought of jazz to me is programming that goes right along the lines that I said. There's a preservation opportunity where we play the Biddy Moten, the Julia Lee, the Andy Kirk, and then we connect with people who understand that in the community, the swing dancers, the people who are also into that type of, I mean, right down to people who sell vintage clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't be more interested in that?
Yeah.
Then you turn around and you have the local cats who would never be able to be heard on the piano, I mean, on the radio, if we didn't give them a chance.
Yeah.
So here's your shot. But that's going to be the day that we're streaming internationally.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's worth it to you to get those thoughts and that music and all that stuff together and get you a shot on the radio, because now you're going to be heard by France. Denmark's going to be listening. People are going to be listening to you.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's another hour or so gone by. Then we turn around. You know, this is just in the preservation mode.
Yeah.
When we get into education, okay, come on. We've got schools, universities, colleges, everybody that's got some kind of jazz program.
Yeah.
Okay, we feature those people, those things, those educational institutions, those who are just as interested in jazz as education. We bring those cats who they may have never heard that are dying and let them get a real education on what jazz is, was. Tourism only makes sense. We're going to be 5 minutes from downtown.
Yeah.
The late night jam session, the only legal after hours for 15 states, is open from 1 to 8 a.m. If you pick up 104.1 and you hear that not only are we awake in Kansas City, but we've got live music, drinks.
Yeah.
You know, and jazz going on 5 minutes from you, what downtown hotel person wouldn't be coming to us?
Yeah.
Internationally, who's not going to come to partake of this? Because this is our international connection.
Yep.
This is when the streaming goes on, and once again, it's 9 o'clock in the morning in Denmark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but they turn it on because they want to hear what's going on in America at the oldest jazz house in the world. So while they're cooking and cleaning and doing their house, they're listening to us.
Yeah.
At a late night jam session. And, oh, by the way, they're supporting us financially. And they're supporting us educationally, because the Ben Webster Foundation has already agreed to send us vintage interviews with people who have been long dead.
Yeah.
Satchmo, Ben Webster, okay, UB Blake. They've already agreed to do that.
Wow.
So in America, we're going to hear people we would have never heard.
Yeah.
Talk about jazz via this connection.
Cool.
Entertainment goes without saying. How many jazz clubs are trying to live in this city?
Yeah.
And if they have a jazz station and they start understanding the culture of jazz as it pertains to entertainment. Okay, I'm the first one to talk about, you know, I love going to a jazz club, but I like the ones that let you know that there's musicians on stage.
Yeah.
And if you bought your girlfriend to get drunk and yell in her ear, save the place for that.
Yeah, right.
We have people who listen. Like at the foundation, we're like, look, downstairs, cut a rug. Have a ball. But when you go upstairs, there's musicians playing. And you don't need to be making that kind of noise up there. People came here to hear the music.
Yeah.
But then concerts and various things we could be doing in concert with the international market, just like we're doing our jazz festival in June 18th to the 20th. It's called the Art of Kansas City Swing, an international jazz education. Denmark is sending us 8 musicians. We're connecting with people all over the country for the swing dancers. It'll be a swing dancers haven for 3 days. We're not shutting down the streets. We're letting all of the merchants and everybody, you know, because it's going to be set on a rotational type thing where you'll get in a van and just circle the block and go to the restaurants and stuff instead of shutting down the streets, inconveniencing people in the neighborhood, and calling yourself having a festival.
Yeah.
To what avail? To what avail? How did it work?
Yeah.
You stuck a lot of people over in a corner who are vendors. Hey, look, not when I can go down the street and not wait in line. So here we have this radio station that is going to be positioned in the oldest jazz house in the world. That's what the call letters are, K-O-J-H. Oldest jazz house. That's what that means.
Oh, okay. I wonder. That was my next question. Cool.
K-O-J-H, oldest jazz house, Kansas City's oldest jazz house. Let that radio station start being the voice of the ethnic cultural community that it came out of.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Vietnamese community that's right down the street, the African community that's right down the street, the Italian community that's right down the street, the Japanese, all that surrounds this area that we're in. So one day it's going to be devoted to world music.
Right on.
Okay, come on now. You mean to tell me we can't celebrate everybody's music? Our children can't hear how Vietnamese play music, how the Africans play their music and everything. One whole day is going to be that, Saturday. So now you get to be eclectic. You get to wake up and you get to hear something. You know, and I don't have anything against countries. As a matter of fact, I really like it. But do we need another station like that?
Right.
So now we have a group of people that are going to help support the station because they've got a stake in it.
Absolutely.
So the thing about jazz don't sell, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
No, incredibly does sell
in
the aspect if you think what selling is. But we changed the whole dynamic as to what selling means.
Yeah.
Okay? And we deserve to, the community surrounding it deserves to be remembered for what it was.
Yeah.
You know? And people need to join into the culture. Everybody, when I get these, and it just hurts my heart. Because when people say to me, you know, Anita, jazz isn't all black. Well, whoever said that? Whoever said that the Peggy Lees and the Louis Belsons and the Gene Krupas and the Artie Shaws and whoever said that nobody embraced jazz? But whenever you take the black equation out, totally, what do you actually have?
Yeah, right.
And I'm saying some people work laboriously to take out the black equation.
Yeah.
Because they feel as if that somehow taints the genre or as one of these conservatory students said, well, you know, they're not trained in jazz. Like, what do you mean? Trained in jazz? Well, they're not playing the right notes. I said, so the improvisational nature of what you hear is no longer something that we can adhere to. Since Charlie Parker played it that way, and you played it exactly like Charlie Parker did, you're right and he's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
That's what that has bred in the jazz community.
Yeah.
That if you can afford to spend $200,000, $250,000 on an education and then come out to the $25 gig, somehow that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, they can, this is the kind of voice they're going to hear on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well start now.
So let's get an idea of the timeline here. The inception has begun, or actually the birth has begun.
Yes.
And we're at a point now where the timeline's moving forward. It has been said that January of next year. What is kind of the development, and when are we going to be able to go to 104.7 and say jazz?
We are planning on January 20th, 2016. We just got a pledge from the Den Webster Foundation of $10,000to assist us in what we need. Aside from them assisting us with the vintage tapes and things like that they've agreed to do. They're also coming to town to help us with a number of fundraisers in June. We have our first fundraiser in March with the Women's History Program. We're going straight for what we need. Month by month, everything that we do is going to be a fundraiser to raise this station. From here until we put that first mic on.
Cool.
And then we're more than halfway there. Jeff Mitchka is coming in April to talk about helping us to pull together the the not only the fundraising aspect of putting up a low power radio station, but the volunteer services and the professional people that you need, a board of directors. He's put up many of himself, so he knows this. And he's coming to town to help us and assist us in getting that aspect, the business aspect of this thing, solid.
Cool.
Okay. And then when we, as we start raising money, we're a 501c3.
Okay.
So we can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when we get moving into this thing, every dime that goes into this thing is going to raise this radio station. It's going to be inside the foundation, so we have the space. So we're not worried about rent, lights, gas. We're going to be paying the same thing.
Cool.
You know, if you've been in our office, you see there's enough space for a station.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I get it. I'm just supposed to do this here.
Yeah.
Because I had grandiose ideas of a big speech, and I still do. But to get on the air is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So we've, you know, it's not a scale down. It's not anything like that. It's a startup.
Yeah.
Like any small business. And we, Mishka and I, we're talking about our first day on the air. What will we do on our first day on the air? Well, we're going to have this great big community potluck, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to ask people to come, bring something to eat, and ask everybody into the foundation to eat with us and have their voice heard on the radio.
Cool.
So if you bring a dish, you know, come on in and say hi to everybody, you know, that first day. And
very
get the
cool.
community totally and completely engaged.
Yeah. Yeah.
And make them listen. So I'm telling you, in my 29 years as a businesswoman and my last 5 years running the foundation, I have never in my life experienced something that was so incredibly fulfilling.
Now,
take that back. My trip to Denmark was a trip.
Yeah, totally. Is the public perception mimicking the way you're feeling right now? Is
in my neck of the woods? In my neck of the woods, yeah. They're stoked.
Yeah.
I am getting a few hater comments here and there. You know.
Oh, they're not going to be able to do that. Oh, they're not going to. You know, there's no market for a jazz radio station.
No, but yeah, I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious to me. Because, you know, what do they say? There's no force greater than an idea this time has come.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to have a 100-year celebration. No one else on this planet can mark that, but us. No one else on this planet can mark that but us.
Yeah.
And really, spiritually, that's got to do something to you.
Yeah.
That's got to make you a believer if it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's how we roll at the foundation. We just kind of look at people, you know, like, whatever. We don't get the big city support like the American Jazz Museum, you know. We don't get any of that.
Yeah.
We don't get a dime out of the city. Not a dime. But all these incredible things are happening to us.
Yeah.
All of these people are on board all across the globe. There's an incredible thing called the Internet that didn't exist 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That is a game changer for everything.
Now, speaking of, are you going to have a home on the web? You mentioned that there's going to be streaming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You will be seen and heard.
Will that be developed in the early go, or is that something that's going to come over time?
That's going to be in the early go. That has to be.
So you'll secure a web home, and then, so is your goal to kind of have playlists up there and, you know, people want to go back and say, man, I heard a tune. And they can go on and take a look and see what's on there. Okay.
Right. Jeff is going to come down. When he comes down, he'll show us all about that. We'll have remotes. You know, technology has changed the game in so much stuff.
Yeah.
You can be sitting up there with a daggum phone in your hand and have a remote opportunity.
Yep.
You know, you can boost it with a couple of little gadgets that's set on top of your car. Yeah. You know? So we don't foresee any obstacle. The only obstacle that was there was the FCC licensing. And some people say, well, why do that when you can have a radio online? I'm saying because it's federally sanctioned.
So let's say in 2026, January of 2026, we sit down and we interview from the Mutual Musicians Foundation, and there's a 10-year celebration for the station. What are you going to say to me that you are happy to see that's happened to the radio station, the radio voice of jazz in Kansas City?
I'm going to be happy to say that we returned the study of music back to the school systems. I'm going to be happy to say that we returned the Working Musicians Union back to them, that you now as a musician are paid a living wage to take care of your family. Just because you chose to become a musician doesn't mean you chose a lesser part of being able to make a living.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that this radio station took those concepts, because we're going to start something called the American Music Apprenticeship Program that works directly with the union to restore those things. But we needed a voice of our own.
Yeah.
One that no one could censor us or tell us that we couldn't do it. So I'm going to be 2026, God willing, that I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be saying those things. We returned music and the study of music back into the urban community. We are now training our children to become professional musicians with a gig that pays money.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking people on international trips, and international people are going to be coming to Kansas City to study and to be a part of this heritage. And all those colleges and universities and things like that will be benefiting from that.
Yeah.
But they're going to make a mecca to 1823 Highland.
Yeah.
We hope to have our own studios. You know, we have that empty space on the side.
Yeah.
And every time I go in there, I dream of studio and recording studio and bigger, you know, radio. That's what I dream about.
Yeah.
And I figured like this, if I can dream and get one radio station, oh, shoot, we can do this all over the country.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
You know?
Yeah. Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to yet another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and advocates of jazz in America. And thanks to Anita for her time and dedication to Kansas City jazz on the airwaves and in the shrine of the Mutual Musicians Foundation. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store, or you can visit theneonjazz.blogspot.com for all things neon jazz. Until next time, enjoy the music, my friends.
Neon Jazz.